Wednesday, the 1st of May. I met Mum and Dad in Baker Street tonight to see the Jubilee decorations, but we only walked along Oxford Street as far as the Marble Arch before getting on a bus to take us home. Oxford Street was very crowded. Mum was disappointed as she wanted to stop and see the flood lighting, but I do not think that starts till next week. Saturday, the 4th of May. I got round to Brett's house at the appointed time, only to find him not ready, which was most annoying, and had to wait about half an hour. However, as there was a very strong wind blowing from the east, we did not go into Essex, but in the reverse direction. We took the usual route to High Beach, the second time I have climbed all the way up without dismounting. We then descended into Waltham Abbey, crossed the Lea, and turned off the main road near Cheshunt, and climbed up to Gough's Oak. Here we kept north through Newgate Street and Epping Green to Little Berkhamsted, again crossing the Lea, and working north of Tewin through Datchworth Green, reaching the Great North Road at Stevenage. From Stevenage, we took the main road to Hitchin, strange country for me if not for Brett, and turned off the St Albans Road, passing through several villages, the names of which I cannot recall at the moment. I am writing this at work and the map is at home. I intended to get to Woburn at least before nightfall, because ever since I have had the map, I have been wanting to visit the very large park near that village. However, the sun set, and it got quite dark before we reached the park, so we tried to put up at Ridgemont, but were unlucky. Altogether, we tried four inns before we were able to put up. Sunday the 5th of May. We slept well and rose this morning at 8:30, and were off by 10:30. We went into the park, which is a wonderful place. For the first half mile from Woburn, it is laid out in large stretches of lawn with all sorts of trees cut and trimmed back in various shapes, and in the midst are a couple of fair-sized lakes. Then comes an open stretch on which graze large numbers of deer, both large and small, and several ostriches. We only got halfway across the park when I realised I'd left my watch behind, so back we came. I picked up the watch and we continued westward through Woburn Sands, we didn't notice any, and kept the main road through Newport Pagnell to Olney, and soon after turned right to the east so that we reached Bedford shortly before midday. The country generally was pretty flat with no outstanding interest. We took the St Neots Road as far as Eaton Socon, which is on the Great North Road, and then turned down a by-road past a watermill and walked across and along the bank of the River Ouse for a distance. We had lunch here too. It was very pretty and we felt like staying there all day. After dinner, we felt very thirsty and the sun was very hot, so we were glad to meet a Wall's ice cream cart just outside St Neots. Refreshed, we continued eastwardly along the Cambridge Road, reaching that town just before 6:30. I must say I was disappointed in the place, as apart from the approach on the west side, the other was more like Canning Town than anything else I can call to mind. We took the Newmarket Road, but soon turned off to the southeast, and after surmounting the hills around Balsham, we began to see signposts to familiar places like Saffron Walden and Bartlow. We joined the main Cambridge to Colchester Road, about 3 miles short of Haverhill, and started to look round for lodgings. We were surprised to find no place mentioned in that town, so we pushed on for the nearest place, Clare, but were unlucky. By this time it had got dark, and after some trouble in lighting my lamp, I discovered I had used up all my carbide. We set off for Cavendish, but took the wrong road, and landed at Poslingford, some 2 miles to the north of Clare. Here we found an advertisement for room and breakfast, 2 and 6, but they were fixed up. However, a chap at the inn where we applied said a relation of his might be able to put us up, so we followed him to a cottage and made arrangements for the night. We were unlucky as regards a bed, but had to make ourselves comfortable on some chairs and a settee. We tossed for the settee and I lost, so Brett had a comfortable night. Monday the 6th of May, Jubilee Day. I did get some sleep. But about 6 this morning, I made Brett change places by force and had a decent rest. As one of the boys of the house was off to work at 7 o'clock this morning, we got up just before and we were on the road by 8:15. 7 and 6 was all we paid for the night's lodging for both of us. We went back to Clare, found the Cavendish Road and followed the north bank of the Stour through Long Melford, Sudbury, Bures, Nayland and Higham, And then after a brief visit to Dedham, we crossed several fields to West Burkholt and so descended to Flatford Mill. It hadn't changed at all since my last visit in 1933, and after taking several snaps, we climbed back to the high road and made our way to Manningtree, near which we crossed the Stour. We kept the Roman road through Ardley and Colchester and turned south soon after Lexton along the Malden Road. We then struck home through Malden, Woodham Mortimer, West Hanningfield and Stock, where Brett discovered a puncture. I reached home at about 9:30, having covered a total of 250 miles and at a cost of 9 shillings and a halfpenny inclusive. We took, or at least I did, sufficient food with us to last the 2 days, and the lodgings were cheap, especially last night's. The weather today was hot, too hot for Brett's liking. We were lucky throughout as regards wind. On Saturday, it was strong from the east, so we went northwest. On Sunday, it was from the northwest, so we came east. Today, it was easterly again, so we came southwest. Ideal conditions, such as one dreams of but seldom gets. Tuesday, the 7th of May. Mum reported tonight that the vacuum cleaner was out of order, so tonight I had a look at it and found the brushes worn right down. Dad and I made a new pair out of some old dry cell carbons, and on switching on again, everything went well till we tried the suction when we found there was none. We switched off, and then clouds of smoke were seen coming from the interior, and the motor was extraordinarily hot. I suspected the bearings had hotted up, so after some difficulty, we dismantled as far as we could. The bearings were intact and well greased and generally okay, although part of the casting at one end appeared cracked, though this should make little or no difference. The armature and field coils appear to be all right too, but one cannot tell at a glance. We put the parts together again, but the motor still overheats and runs down quickly. Wednesday the 8th of May. I met Mum at Baker Street Station tonight and, after a little tea, took her to see the Jubilee decorations. We walked down Baker Street and Oxford Street, through Hyde Park to Hyde Park Corner, then down Piccadilly and St James's Street, past St James's Palace and along the Mall to the Duke of York Steps, up which we climbed, along Carlton House Terrace and through the Mews to Cockspur Street, down to Whitehall and along the embankment to Temple Station. Big Ben struck 9 o'clock just as we reached it, so we were able to see a little of the floodlighting that began just afterwards. The County Hall was lit with green floodlighting, which showed up the stonework very effectively. Shell Meck's house had a very interesting and smoothly worked changing of colour on the great clock which surmounts the building, the colours going right through the spectrum and changing so gradually as to be hardly discernible. The dome of St Paul's Cathedral showed up very well across the bend of the river. Thursday, the 9th of May. I went to the premiere and saw the funniest film I have seen for a long time, Oh Daddy, featuring Leslie Henson, Francis Day and Robertson Hare. Saturday, the 11th of May. I took Mum to the Tups to see Radio Parade 1935. It wasn't bad, but still, it wasn't good either. Afterwards, we went along to the Co-op at East Ham, where I ordered a pair of shorts. They had to be made, of course, and a pair of Dunlop Sprite tyres and tubes for the bike, the whole lot being paid out of a mutuality club I hold at the Co-op. Sunday, the 12th of May. I waited till 9 o'clock or thereabouts for Brett to come this morning, and then knocked at his house, only to find him sick with earache. Pretty bad too, from what he told me. I was glad to go on my own for a change. I reached Southend soon after 1 o'clock, having had to face a strong northeasterly all the way. I followed the coast as far as Shoebury, and then turned north through Great Wakering, intending to go to Foulness, and come back via the Broomway across the Maplin Sands as the tide was out. However, I thought I might as well have a look at the southern end of the Broomway to see that it was accessible, and while there, had the crazy notion of going along it to Foulness. The wind, however, soon put a stop to that. I spent about 30 minutes getting about 30 miles to the northeast along it, and the wind carried me back in about a minute. As it was now about 2 o'clock, and I was very hungry, I sat in the shelter of the sea wall and ate my lunch. 30 minutes later, I was going along the military road and arrived at Foulness after fighting the wind all the way at 3:30. I crossed the seawall and, after a brief tussle with the wind for a quarter of a mile, turned definitely southeast along the Broomway. It started all right on firm, hard sand, and I had little difficulty in following the small stumps placed in the sand at intervals of 30 or 40 yards to mark the course. But after about a mile, the sand became softer, and once or twice I sank in a couple of inches or so. It is remarkable how quickly loose sand can pull one up. I reached the first offshoot, but soon after, the going became almost impossible, so with much regret, I turned back. I had to walk nearly the whole of the way, the wind was so strong. I went 3 miles there and back on that end of the Broomway, and though I took only about a quarter of an hour or less on the way out, it was more than an hour from the time I left the sea wall to the time I recrossed it. I was pretty well covered in muddy sand by the time I reached the island, and after a last look back, I set off on the return journey. I reached Foulness village at about 5 o'clock and took a photograph of the church. I kept to the road I had come by and reached Southend Pier shortly before 6 o'clock. I took the road through Prittlewell and kept to the main road south of Rayleigh and through Nevenden. I turned off near East Horndon station and came home through Upminster. So instead of exploring the country round Southend and Rochford as I had intended, I was messing about on the Broomway nearly all the afternoon. Still, it was worth it. I cannot make out how those army lorries that use the road across the sands to pick up lost shells managed to keep from sinking in altogether. I arrived home shortly before 8:45, having done exactly 100 miles. Thursday the 16th of May. All we can think about at home lately is moving. The house hunting season is in full swing. Now the latest one is at Havering at Bower, near Romford, and Dad has secured particulars from the agents. We are all so intoxicated with the idea of removing from Plaistow that even I am building castles in the air, and during a slack moment, looked up the plans for my model railway and made some refinements today. Friday the 17th of May. As Dad is going over to Grandma's tomorrow afternoon, Mum and I have arranged to go to Havering to gain access to and look over the bungalow. The papers report fearful snow blizzards over the north and south west of England and prophesy further cold weather for the weekend. Saturday the 18th of May. No, we shall not move to Havering. Mum and I went over as arranged, but the intended purchase will not take place. We had some difficulty in entering the house as the key was not available, but we got in at the back way by the use of the back door key from next door. Altogether, the condition of the house was not very hopeful. The door furniture was rusted through, and in the kitchenette there was no space for a table, and apart from a range in the dining room, there was no cooking apparatus whatever. The larder was merely a small cupboard in the scullery and ventilated by an air brick. On the way home, we took a footpath to Collier Row and the bungalowed village there further resolved us to keep away from that part. Monday, the 20th of May. Human nature is ever curious. Last week, I was all anti-Brett, and this week, I am almost the reverse. Yesterday, I broached a subject that I have given a passing thought to, whether we could try a camping holiday. He shares my views that it would be worth trying, and before the day was done, we decided that each of us should buy a ground sheet and sleeping bag and go halves in getting a Primus, while he insisted on defraying the cost of the tent, as his family could use it if we weren't. So we parted, meaning to consult catalogues on the subject. Tuesday, the 21st of May. The rear brake on my bike misbehaved itself on Sunday once or twice by refusing to pull off after application. Once it nearly landed me in the soup as the end of the Bowden cable came out of its holder so that I pulled on nothing in an emergency. I should have been into the back of a car if my front brake had not held. So tonight, before tea, I slipped the rear wheel off and took it round to Bates's, where I also ordered it to be burnt out again, as, subsequent to my over-oiling when I had the trouble with the gears, the drum is full of oil again. Wednesday the 22nd of May. I picked up my wheel from Bates's tonight. Curiously enough, it was ready as promised. While I was there, I bought a sleeping bag. I thought I should have to order one. I better explain before going any further that Brett and I planned to have a tryout at Whitsun of this camping equipment, hence the rush. but was served with one measuring 6 feet from foot to shoulders for 11 shillings and sixpence. They had one at 8 shillings and sixpence, but it was, of course, of inferior quality and did not appear nearly so warm as the one I purchased. I tried it on when I reached home and it fits very well. It has a rubber waterproof backing, which will obviate the necessity of a ground sheet. Saturday, the 25th of May. Mr. Belcher, from whom I purchased my camera, has been trying of late to get me to sell him my magic lantern, and I have been anxious to get rid of it. So today I brought it up with me. Naturally, it wasn't at all what he had expected, though I had tried to describe it as well as I could. Anyhow, he paid me 5 shillings. Shame. And with the proceeds, I bought myself an electric cycle lamp to save lugging that heavy acetylene lamp about during the summer. Tuesday, the 28th of May. Brett came over tonight with sundry catalogues, and we settled to meet at Ludgate Circus at 6:30 Friday and buy our tackle at James Gross's in New Bridge Street. Thursday, the 30th of May. I met George at Aldgate, and after some tea, we took a bus to the bank and the underground from there to Waterloo. We arrived at the Vic shortly before 8 o'clock. We had good seats, but somehow we couldn't hear very well. There is something about the build of that theatre that one cannot hear anything like one can at Sadler's Wells. The performance was good, and with one exception, the cast was the same as before. Sumner Austin played the part of Dr. Falk. But I'm beginning to be a little tired of Die Fledermaus. Friday, the 31st of May. I went down to Ludgate Circus and met Brett, and we spent almost an hour in Gross's buying what we wanted. He bought the tent, fly sheet and his sleeping bag, and I the stove and cooking utensils and cutlery and crockery. Altogether, we spent over £3. We went halves over the ground sheet. We arranged that he should call on me tomorrow afternoon as soon as he was ready, and we'd give things a try out this weekend.